Psalmist, thank you, hand, that you already stretched out both to bless us and to draw us and take us to higher ground. Father, we ask that as we turn to your word, even this night, please come among us, move from low to low, from heart to heart. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Touch us, Lord, by your mighty hand. And let your divine purpose for our lives come to pass. Holy Spirit, undertake for us. Thank you, Father. As we turn to your word, let it mix with faith in our hearts. Speak to us with simplicity. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we are prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Please be seated. Right, because there is not much light, you are only going to manage with whatever you can see. We are going to be reading from Matthew 25. We are reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 25. And we would like to study very quickly and yet briefly from verse 1 to 13. Matthew 25, verse 1 all through to 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. May the Lord bring increase to his word as we study and as we draw issues as quickly as we can tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. The theme we have been looking at why the bridegroom tarried. That has been the kind of theme we are to consider in the course of this meeting. But for tonight, I would rather desire that we simply look at the context of that parable that the Lord Jesus himself began to speak about. If you are very keen at reading your Bible, you will notice that the discussion that Jesus Christ came on from that chapter 25 verse 1 actually did not start in that verse 1 of chapter 25. There had been a very long discourse that the Lord Jesus Christ had been holding from chapter 24 when the disciples began to ask him. They showed him the pictures and the big buildings, and they were asking, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming? And what will be the sign of the end of the world? They were asking three questions, all in one. And the Lord Jesus began to speak very, very deliberately in response to the things that will be happening towards the end of the age. And he began by bringing some very, very specific warnings and instructions. He would say, take heed that no man deceive you. And he gave different pictures that could quietly inform us about what is God's divine agenda and the kind of things that we should be expecting. When you go through from the entire chapter 24, which was quite a long discussion itself, and you come down to chapter 25. So I want you to know that chapter 25 is only but a continuation of all the issues the Lord Jesus had been raising about his second coming and about the events that will characterize the end time and the challenges that we will witness. Some of the things that the Lord predicted, several of it, they have happened, and they are still happening. And he was so emphatic at various points that he was speaking with authority that these are the things that will happen. But because tonight we simply want to take that particular parable or story that Jesus Christ brought, because of the end point of that parable, when it says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. Now, if we are just talking of general issues that might not affect us, it may not come near you, we will have said, wow, let's just study if we like. But here we are confronted with a very, very critical matter and situation which I will not want you to take for granted if the Lord will permit us to study. So having said that, the context of Matthew 25 is not arbitrary, it is a continuation of Jesus' discussion with those that were following him, those who are keen about the purpose of God for their lives. That's when he now brought this very, very, very graphic picture that we must take note of tonight. So if you will permit me, and now that you have a bit of light, I would like you to let's peruse that few verses of scripture, 13 verses. We will not undertake to study everything in details, but we are just going through it, so that for tonight, we can take a takeoff and trust that the Lord will be preparing each one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now this is a very, very critical introduction. And if you will not mind, let's quickly draw all the quick issues that we can bring out of this. The first point is how definite the Lord Jesus was speaking. He said, then. When he used the word then, that was pointing to the fact that this is a definite thing that will happen. Then, shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. You know, the first thing that drew my attention is that he said the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. You know that at various points and in various scriptures, God had continuously talked about the church as a bride, isn't it? And has presented the Lord Jesus to us as the bridegroom. Several times, the Lord himself has spoken about a man who is conducting a marriage feast for his son and has invited many people to come. And suddenly, many of them, what were they doing? They began to make excuses why they cannot be part of it. And he has spoken very, very elaborately about all of that, even in chapter 22 of Matthew. But now we are coming to a group of persons who, by the grace of God, they already had the invitation and they have already responded to the invitation and they have already even taken some practical steps to go and wait for the bridegroom. So I'm dealing with people that are not casual. They are not those that are still in the market. They were not those that have never even made any preparation to meet the bridegroom. They are not those that were still saying, please come. These have already come. The Bible said, they were virgins. Oh, something touched my heart. They were virgins. To be virgins meant they had fought against the forces that decays and destroys and corrupts young people. For them to be virgins, it meant that they have kept themselves as if they say, we will not defile ourselves. They have consecrated themselves to a level. They have prepared themselves to be part of a glorious coming
of the bridegroom. So they kept themselves pure. That makes it much more serious for me and very pathetic at the same time. That these ones, they were not casual girls. They were people who have kept themselves. They have met some certain conditions and they have prepared themselves. I can imagine that several men in their community wanted to defy them. They say, no, I refuse to be defied. I'm waiting for the Lord. I'm waiting for the bridegroom. I imagine that some of their friends who decided to be wayward said, look, this holy, holy sister, this holy, holy one, he says, waiting. We will enjoy our life. And I hear those sisters saying, others may, I cannot. You may go, I am planning for your grant. I imagine they were singing that song that I love to sing a lot. You know the song, it says, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where this abound, my prayer, my aim is a higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Thy faith on earth, heaven's stable land, higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on a higher ground. I imagine that why all others are selling out themselves, while others are making cheap merchandise of their lives, and they say, well, it doesn't matter. These ones, they kept themselves. These ones, they made a decision. I must meet the bridegroom. I'm going higher. I'm going to the higher ground. Now the Bible said, and this is where I honestly wish the Spirit of God will undertake for us tonight, so that our understanding might be opened, so that we can pray genuine prayers. I just feel we should pray together tonight. The Bible said, they even took their lamps. They took their lamps. If we were to study the Bible, what will it mean for a man to take his lamp? The Bible said, thy word is a lamp to my feet, isn't it? So these are people that have decided not to walk in darkness. They have decided not to walk in crooked ways. They took their lamp. They were concerned with the scriptures. They read their scriptures so that they can have light to guide them through the path. They carried their lamp so that they will not walk in darkness. They took their lamps. They took their lamps. So the people I'm describing, they were not people that were careless. They were not people that did not prepare for what they want to go for. They took their lamps. And the Bible said, they did what again? They went forth. They went forth. And my mind was saying, from where were they coming? They went forth. They went out of the world. They went out of sin. They went out of carelessness. They went out to go and meet the Lord. They went forth. They went out of worldliness. They went out of compromise. They went out. And their desire was clear. They were going forth to meet the bridegroom. They were purposeful. They started with a purpose. When anybody asked them, where are you going? we are going to meet the bridegroom. Ah, why are you not in our company? Say the bridegroom is coming for me. Why wouldn't you sit down here and let us drink and chop life? Say no, he may come anytime from now. They left with a sense of haste. They left with a sense of commitment. We are going to meet the Lamb. I mean the bridegroom. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. The King will arrive anytime from now. We are going. There are some of their friends that were trying to delay them. They said, no. He told us that he will come any moment from now. So we cannot waste time. So they left with a sense of purpose. Say, where are you going? We are going to meet the bridegroom. Wow. Some of them, their parents, actually did not support their going. Their parents said, me, I don't know that bridegroom you are looking for. Whatever is coming, let them come and meet us here in the market. They said, no. We have to go and wait for him. We have to prepare ourselves. We are going. Some were planning to marry a boy. And when that boy was sent to mess up with her, she said, no. I would rather lose a boyfriend than fail to meet the bridegroom. So they left. Left their world. Left their old friends. Left many things that could be a distraction. They took their lamb and they were going forth to meet the bridegroom. And the Bible said, they went forth. What was touching my heart, which I'm trusting that I could be able to make as plain as possible, was that up to the end of verse 1, these sisters, these virgins, I would say they were not careless. Or will you think that what I'm reading about them appeared that they were careless people? They were not careless. They were people who made consecration, who took decisions and said, no, we are going to meet the King. We are going to be part, and the bridegroom will come any time from now. Can I inform you? If the bridegroom did not tarry, what will have happened to the 10 of them? They will have made it. You know, it touched my heart that if the bridegroom, if the Lord did not tarry, they will have entered. If not because the bridegroom tarried, their foolishness that we are talking about today will not have shown. And maybe you don't understand. When some of us started to follow Jesus, there are several brothers and sisters that we started together with great zeal. There are brothers that when we repented, my God, they took all their worldly shirts and the kind of dresses they used to wear that was you know, insinuating the things of darkness. They tore it. Some they put, you know, they just spray kerosene and put fire. We say, brother, why are you doing that? He said, no. Oko, tiyo de mi lo na ye, baba loke, ba mi mukuro. And they were ready. They did all of that. If Jesus had come, they would have been there. Unfortunately, why did bridegroom tarry? Why did bridegroom tarry? Something finished in them. Something finished inside of their lives. And they are unable to press on again. And sometimes I say, oh my God. Because I remember when some of us first came to Jesus. And we were told that the Lord is coming soon. Do you know that some of us who are planning, we wake up every day. Our song that time is a very serious song. Make me ready. Make me ready. Make me ready, O Lord. In the morning, in the night, anytime you may come. Make me ready, O Lord. When we meet brothers, when we finish a fellowship, in our own days, when we are about to depart from the meeting, we say, sister, hope to see you tomorrow. But if the Lord appears and arrives this night, make sure I meet you up there. That's our greeting. Honestly, when we finish a meeting, as I see many of you hugging yourself and say hallelujah, our own song that time is Maranatha, 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 Maranatha. If I don't see you again, I see you up there. That's our greeting. Some of us, we struggled to make investment because the question is, if I invest now, and the Lord should come, since I'm expecting him anytime, the whole thing will be wasted. We were ready to invest everything in the Lord because we are expecting that he will come. Sometimes when we stand up and we're about to finish our fellowship, a brother will just raise a song. We are here expecting Jesus. We are here expecting Jesus. We are expecting Jesus. We don't know when he shall come. He may come in the night. He may come in the day. He may come in the evening. We are expecting Jesus. That's our song. So we all went. We packed our load. We were people that were ready for anything. Whenever he comes, we are gone. Hallelujah. The kind of zeal that I could see with these sisters, I remember that was the kind of zeal with which we began to run after the Lord. Nothing was appealing to us. Everything in the world. In fact, we reminded ourselves that, listen, you will marry, oh, we normally tell ourselves, we will tell the sister that you want to marry that time, say, sister, can you consider marrying me if the Lord tarries? That's the language. If the Lord tarries, would you like to marry me if the Lord tarries? But if the Lord comes, it's all right. Are we together? When we were fixing the date of our weddings in those days, we didn't say our wedding will be on so-so date, October 2015, as some of you have said it in January. No. We say if the Lord tarries, our wedding may come up. We were not sure that we would be here at that time. When you met a preacher and we are inviting him for a meeting, he would say, well, if the Lord tarries, I will be there. But if the Lord comes before then, you will meet me up there. Such was the preparation. They were all heavenly conscious and heavenly minded. And the Bible said they actually went out. They went forth out of the world. They went forth out of the system of Satan, out of the spirit that rules the children of disobedience, and they set themselves apart. I am seeing these women, these sisters, they were sanctified in terms of being set apart for God. They kept themselves different from everything else, and they were waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. And what I'm describing is not strange. The Bible told us about the Thessalonians. When they received the Lord, the Bible said they left all idols. They left every entanglement in their lives. Hallelujah. And they were waiting for the coming of the Lord. They were seriously concerned that any moment it will come. Even men like Brother Paul, they spoke as if the Master was going to arrive when? In their time. Paul would say, those of us that are alive, we shall not die, but we shall see him, and we shall be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. And immortality will swallow up our mortality, and our corruption shall be swallowed up with incorruption. That was the excitement. You see it everywhere. Now, the matter that is drawing my attention and creating a big burden in my heart is here. The Bible now said, please follow me quickly. I'm just dealing with verse 1, I need to move on quickly. And the Bible said, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. That was a matter I would like to note in passing. I can't deal with it at this point because it would be preemptive if I start dealing with it at that point. But let me note with you. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. Can I find out? When they were all together, is there any way by which you could know anybody that is foolish among the 10? Eh? Who knows what revealed their foolishness? What do you think revealed their foolishness? When the bridegroom tarried. Hey, my brothers, my sister. What made us to now find that these were foolish was not apparent when they started. When they were in the choir singing with the brethren. Because I was imagining that while 10 of them were waiting for the bridegroom, they may have been reading the Bible. Am I right? They may have been singing. They may have been practicing their songs. And they may have been giving special numbers. I perceive that they must have been keeping themselves warm and telling themselves, don't worry, it will soon be here. Don't worry, it will soon be here. When a sister was trying to go, I said, don't go far because he may come any time from now. Eh? Please, be careful. All of them were holding on. Everybody was concerned. Now, why am I painting this picture? I'm painting this picture. There are some of us sitting here. Something has started to manifest in your life. You are beginning to grow weak. When you started with fire. You started with a great expectation. You started with a great zeal. You started. Nothing was important to you. Nothing was of great value to you. Your soul, your salvation, your experience of Christ, your communion with God was the highest thing on your agenda. Hallelujah. But why the bridegroom tarried? His delay is beginning to manifest the foolishness that maybe we did not notice. The fact that he has not come as we thought he would have arrived has begun to reveal some imperceptible unpreparedness, some imperceptible omissions, some imperceptible deficiency within your character, within your life, which will not have been manifest if the Lord has come earlier. My cry, you have taken a step. You have said, yes, I want to belong to the Lord. But because he tarried, something is beginning to manifest. Things that we did not know were still there were beginning to come out. And the Bible said, they that were foolish, they took their lamps. They took their lamps. And I imagine as they were going, they made sure that their lamps were burning. Am I right? Their lamps were burning. Many people, their fire was hot when they started their journey. Their lamp was bright when they took off. And because they did not anticipate that there would be any delay, they trusted their tank. Are we together? They trusted their tank, the kerosene in their tank, that it will last. Maybe while the other sister was saying, let's carry extra oil in another bottle, they must have been looking at those sisters and saying, why do you carry extra load? Eh? Why are you wasting your time? What we have in our lamp, we carry us through. I don't think you will need any extra oil. Let's go. The other sister said, well, it will not eat. Abi? It will not eat, and it does no harm to carry it. And if the master comes, and we never needed it, no problem. And if the master comes, and we need it, it will not be necessary to be running up and down at that time. Let me just carry it. Oh, the other sister said, mm-mm. What do you think was the first challenge of this sister that were foolish? They were presumptuous. Eh? They were presumptuous. Presumption. Many people have missed the purpose of God for their lives simply because they made costly assumptions. They were presumptuous. They overestimated what they had, thinking it will be sufficient for the length of their journey. They overestimated their strength. They thought that what they personally carry would take them through without anything extra. Nobody will have known that they are foolish unless the bridegroom tarried. I don't know, but I perceive the Holy Spirit might be prodding your heart tonight individually and beginning to raise questions. Why is it that you say in those good old days? What is making the days of your beginning better than your present day? What is it that is making the way you ran after the Lord, the way you hated sin, the way you love righteousness, what is making you now to say, Kai, when I used to really love the Lord, what is making you not to love the Lord like that presently? What has finished? Or what is finishing? That the lamp of your life is growing dim and you are unable to prop it up because something internal was finishing. So in that situation, The Bible said they never thought it was necessary to take any extra oil. I said they were presumptuous. What are they presumptuous about? They were presumptuous about how long it would take to persevere and to walk in the Christian life before the bridegroom comes. They were presumptuous. Number two, they had overestimated sense of their capacity to run the race without anything extra. They thought that what they carry in themselves would be sufficient to see them through. Number three, they ignored the counsel of the other sisters, because I perceive a discussion went up in their midst and said, Sister Debbie, wouldn't you carry an extra oil? And Debbie said, Sister Cecilia, I don't think I should waste my time carrying another jerrycan of oil. I am sufficient. I am able. There is nothing that will happen. My oil will see me through. How many people have been beating their chest? I will make it. Only to fall by the wayside. So they went. And the Bible noted, the wise took oil in their lamps, in their vessels, with their lamps. So they were going. Oh, verse 5 began to introduce the matter. Why did bridegroom tarry? Why did bridegroom tarry? And brothers and sisters, because I'm dealing with the story tonight, just like this, I will not have space to deal with, you know, the word that they put there, say, while, W-H-I-L-E, Abi, while, that is, in the meantime, when the bridegroom tarried. That's the meaning of why the bridegroom tarried. But tomorrow, we will need to ask a question, but why, the word W-H-Y, why does our bridegroom, why does he tarry? Why hasn't he come? What is he waiting for? But that will be for our study tomorrow. Are we together? But tonight, I am first of all concerned about ensuring. I want you to ensure that you do not have an exaggerated sense of your personal strength, that you do not ignore the counsel of the Holy Ghost by thinking that, yes, even as I am all right, I will make it. Because you underestimated what length of time it might take for you to wait and persevere for the coming of the Lord before he comes. And you know my trouble. He told them in chapter 24, he said, only those that did what? That endured to the end shall be saved. And I'm asking, are you having what it will take to endure, to persevere, to wait on him, and to keep waiting on him with correct light, with every resources that will keep you right waiting until he comes for those who have been waiting for him? Why the bridegroom tarried? The Bible said three things. They all slumbered. and slept. Why the bridegroom tarried? There is something that was settling on their lives. The question of sleeping and slumbering. They were tired. Their expectation had not been met quickly. So a bit of their zeal was going off all of them. And what touched me was that it was not, the Bible was not capitalizing on the fact that they all slept. It was not saying they all slumbered as the reason for this particular trouble. The reason for this particular trouble is that these sisters, they did not carry what we take. Even if God were to wake them up, there was nothing to wake in them again. That was the trouble. Friends, I do not think God is going to say, oh, why did you doze off? Why are you tired? I think God himself has made provision for such inevitable situation that happened while the bridegroom tarried. They all slumbered and slept. Now, because of my space of time, the Bible said, and at midnight. When, please? When? At midnight. Again, this night I will not spend time to discuss what does the midnight represent in the matter of the expectation of our Lord. But as you go through scriptures, you will see that repeatedly the Bible talks about midnight. At midnight, at midnight, at midnight, when the master will come at midnight. And that made me so curious to want to find out, what is this midnight all about? But permit me to leave that until when we come, particularly tomorrow, as the Lord will guide us. I'm only dealing with an issue tonight. What could make a man to miss it? So the Bible said, at midnight, there was a cry. There was a cry. There was a trumpet. A cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Ah, and I'm excited that there's going to be a midnight cry. There's going to be a revival. There's going to be a waking up of God's people just before the master will arrive. One of the reasons why I have committed myself to laboring for revival is because I just knew that shortly before the Son of Man will appear, all those that have been waiting for him, God is going to give them an opportunity to do what? To be revived. And please mark it. There are people that you say, this is a dead church, this is a sleeping church. Hey, before the master comes, there will be a midnight cry. All of them will wake up. There's going to be a waking up. There's going to be a revival. There's going to be something that will do this final waking of God's people to be ready for his coming. And that has touched my heart a lot. You know, in the 70s, the churches that I'm seeing today, that God is visiting them now. If you told us in the 70s that they will be revived, you say it's impossible. Because they are beside, you know, the bishop, the archbishop, they are all members of Ogboni fraternity. When somebody dies and we are to attend the burial, sometimes the Ogboni people will have come to cut off the head of that person. And those of us that just met the Lord, then we say, no. Nothing good will come out of this place. And because of that, we were struggling with these things. Really, there's nothing there. But when we lay down to pray, the Holy Spirit say, but I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will revive these things. I say, you will revive this church. How will you do it? And God say, I will. They will come on again, oh. They will come on to fire again. It was difficult. But just few years now, down the line, are you beginning to see bishops blowing tongues? Eh? Are you beginning to see a new move of God turning things around, breaking all the barriers and uprooting all the ancient barriers, and God is bringing a newness? There's going to be a revival. It is possible that part of the midnight cry to wake men out, to wake the sleeping giants, could be this part. This kind of meeting could be part of it. God may have just brought you here to shake you up and say, yes, you started out with me. You left the world when the world was important to you that time. You left them. You started running after me. What has happened that you are sleeping? Wake up! God may have just even called this meeting as a wake-up call for somebody. The Holy Spirit may just be coming to tap you and say, the days of my visitation has come. Stop sleeping. Get back to what you used to do for me. God may have been doing that for somebody here. But the trouble was that when the midnight cries came and all those virgins, please take note of verse 7 with me. Then all those virgins, these were the complications of this passage. All of them did what? Arose. All of them rose. All these virgins woke up. The foolish virgins woke up. The wise ones, they all woke up. The revival woke all of them. All of them woke up. But now the trouble is this. They arose. All of them were trimming their lamps. Somehow, all of them recognized that we cannot meet the bridegroom that is at the door in darkness. Something told them that you cannot meet him without your lamp. So all of them were trimming their lamp. Now you will permit me to share with you some of my own surprises as I study this passage. Do you permit me to do that before I draw the conclusion? Now I was thinking, if 10 virgins were in a room, look at this light now. If they have one lamp like this in that room, is that not enough for all of them to share? Talk to me, please. It will not be enough. If it is only to see the road to the door in order to meet a bridegroom, and 5 of them already even have lamp, why can't that 5 lamp be enough for 10? That is the mystery of this lamb we are talking about. It appears clearly to me that so you won't be able to meet the Lord with a shared lamb. It means you won't be able to perch on another brother's light in order to see the Lord. It means, no matter how close you are to see the Lord and to meet Him, you need personal light. You need your own lamp. I thought that somebody would be able to meet the Lord with the illumination of another brother who is his neighbor. But I'm discovering that it won't happen like that. Husband will not be able to use the lamp of their wives. Children will not be able to use their father's lamp. It won't be possible under that. I say, but my father is the preacher. And he has a mighty light on his life. I'm just following him so that I can just see the Lord together with him in his own light. Sorry, sir. Your father's light will not suffice, will not be sufficient for you on this day. Fellowship light will not be enough. The challenge now, that some of you are sitting here, you are with us, you don't have your light, though. You don't have personal light, but you are enjoying the light of everyone else. Jesus Christ was speaking about the people of Israel. He said John was a bright and a shining light. Do you remember? He said, and you were willing to do what? To enjoy his light for a season without kindling your own light. Are you sitting here, my friends? When you are here in the light of the general fellowship, you are in the light. But when we break out and we are going back, you are in darkness because there's no light in you. You don't have what it takes to overcome darkness. You are an environmental believer. You are well because we are all here. Am I communicating with you? You are the one that shared light. But you have no light of your own. There's no light in you. There's no light to guide you. Your own life is in darkness. Unless other people came and were sharing their light around. Say, we thank God. We thank God. I hope I will always be with brother. I hope I will always be with this sister. She is the one who is helping me. All such environmental Christians, I'm afraid of. All such people who only are spiritual inside fellowship, but there is something else in their bedroom, I am afraid of. All those who appear to be victorious when we are all together, but they are victims in their private lives. All those who seem to be wonderful in the warmth of fellowship, but in the privacies of their lives, they are casualties. There's going to be a problem here. So they all woke up. Everybody was trimming their light, trimming their light, trimming their light. The sisters that had extra oil, they quickly added oil, and their light started shining bright. The other sister, who did not have an extra oil, no matter how they trim, they trim, they trim, the thing will just go down. They trim up, they go down. When it became clear to them, say, wow, the trouble is that oil has finished. What it takes to meet the Lord has finished. What it takes to stand before the Son of God has finished. What it takes to stand at his appearing is not in us. They turn to their fellow sisters. He says, Sister Cecilia, please. Please look at the way they talked. All of you, please look at how they made a passionate request. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Tell somebody, may your lamp not go out. It was a painful cry. Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. These were men and women that started well, that left the world. They were ridiculed at the beginning of their journey. But why the bridegroom tarried? Something that could have taken them to see the Lord was gone out. Now, look at the painful verdict. But the wise answered, saying, not so. Koribe. I hope you know the meaning of not so. Kinituma not so. Koribe. Sitami Koribe. It's not like that. This matter we have reached is not the kind we can share. When the bridegroom had not come, whether you had light or you don't have light, once there is a little light, belu belu in the room, we are all managing it. Shubani is saying, yo, koshekin yo, koribe. Not so. Hey, not so! Let there be not enough for us and for you. Kyoma ba shala ito fun awon ati eyin. That was a very fearful statement for me. These are people that were in the same choir. You could share pomade. You could share soap. But when it comes to what it takes to stand before the Son of Man at His appearing, it is not shareable. If you don't have it, you don't have it. If your whole has gone out, at a critical time, who will help you? Not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. At what time? Talk to me, at what time? At midnight. At midnight. When all honest businessmen should be sleeping. Abi? At midnight. When armed robbers are taking the road. At midnight. When there is no light on the streets. At midnight, when the door is already shut, and you are knocking, but the sister says, sorry, oh, so that it will not be insufficient for you and for us. Rather, go to those that sell. And the Bible is very overwhelming for me. Who are those that sell? Where can anybody get the oil that will make him stand before the Lord if it is not from the Lord? He had said, come unto me, buy without money. Which means all the time when these sisters were not having oil, there was already an invitation, come and get oil without money. They said, no, we don't need that. We are sufficient. Now at midnight, when everything is finished, they were going up and down. Where are they going? I was going to say to you, sometime when this midnight will happen and people will wake up, they'll be looking, they'll be running helter-skelter to see whether somebody will preach to them, whether somebody will share the truth with them. But all such brothers who are honest preachers as at that point they will have entered with the Lord. If there's any preacher who can be selling anointing oil for you at that midnight hour, you can be sure that he himself, with his oil, they are outside. Go to them that are selling. And these sisters, out of serious desperation, they went to buy. I cannot spend time to tell you the frustration that happened to them. They were going, when they came here, they said, this is where we used to get oil. Excuse me, we need oil. Then they were asking, you need oil? The man that used to sell the new oil has also went with the bridegroom. When they said the bridegroom has arrived, he has gone. They went to another house. They said, we know this brother used to give correct oil. When we started, they are the one that used to teach us the word of God. Only to get and knock, they said, are you asking for Brother Gwile? I said, yes, sorry, Utibolu Walo. Ọdẹ ń ta epo yẹn o, epo yẹn ṣe wọ́n bí for a long time. Kí ló dé tẹ̀ fi wọ́n gbà yẹn? Ó ti bolú wa lọ. It's no more around, he has gone. They went to another brother, they said there's another brother that he used to give the, he shares genuine oil that makes men, their light to shine brighter. They say yes. So they quickly run. When they go to that site, Gogo and Waladugo, all the neighbors, they say, who are you looking for? He says, his brother, say, suddenly, he said, what he had been waiting for has arrived. He left. Come and see, everything here has been closed. Those of us that are here, We also have oil. But it's not the kind that will take you to see the Lord. If you want, you can collect our own. Our oil cannot take you to meet him. That's why we didn't even try to go there. But if you want our own kind of oil, you can get it. By the time the sisters came back, oh Lord, the bridegroom has come and he has shut the door. He shut the door. And the Bible said, because I must conclude at this note, so that you can join me in prayer. And I don't think God has brought us for this meeting, if not because there is something critical that heaven is concerned about, that he is saying a wake-up call. I don't think God will be drawing us the way he's drawing us, if not because something serious is about to happen and he did not want you to be caught unawares. Follow me to finish it. He said, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward, I don't like that word. May it not be the word they will use to describe you. Afterward. Afterward, a security man was training us the other day, and he used a language that has not left me. He said, the proverb says, everybody gets wise after the event. You know, sometimes when thieves have come to your house and they have robbed you, it is then say, we should have put that burglary. You become wise. When? After the event. So you know, as I come at the word, afterward, I say, no Lord, no Lord. Eh, I don't want afterward. I don't want to be wise after the event. I don't want to be serious after it is too late. I don't want my eyes to open when it is of no use again. Did you see the sister that was sleeping and slumbering before the Lord came? Now that the Lord has come and entered, were they able to sleep again? Talk to me, please. Their eyes were open. They were wide awake. They were going everywhere. They were saying, ha, 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 had I known? I hope you know that they were singing, had I know, I would have carried that vessel. Had I know, and there was oil. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. And I thought that this lamp, you will be sufficient to carry me through. Ah! Ha! I don't know what they would have done, but you can imagine. You can imagine the afterward. The Bible says, afterward! Came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And then the answer, but he answered and said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. I will stop on that. I know you not. My trouble was, these sisters, they left the world, they left friends, they left everything. They were in the company of those who were waiting. But there was an imperceptible omission in their life. There was something they did not deal with. There was a presumption that they did not handle. It was not revealed when everything was looking normal. But when the master tarried, their presumption became their calamity. Their silent omission became the undoing of their destiny. My brother, my dear sister, they started well. If the Lord had arrived earlier, surely they would have been in. But when everything finished in them, and the master came, they knew we couldn't stand before him. And it's not something they could share. Father cannot share the oil with the son. Husband could not say, my wife, let's share the lamp together. And then the master said, I don't know you. Can you imagine what I think the mother said? I'm very imaginative about it. And I know they will have done it. Master! Did you say you don't know me? I am Sister Deborah. There was one Yusuf that was running after me before I heard about you. I wrote him off. The master said, but I didn't meet you where you ought to be when I came. You were not where you should be. I never knew you. No, Lord! Sister Cecilia, remind the Lord, tell him about me. Or you also, you don't know me again. Cecilia must have said, face your matter. For everybody will stand before the judgment throne of Christ to give account of himself. Explain why you are outside. Don't involve me. Sister, I don't care. When you were singing treble, I sang alto. Are you also saying you don't know me? Can't you remind the Lord that I was the one that was always singing alto? Ronke was too occupied with the joy of meeting the Lord than to be talking to somebody who's outside. One of our singers in those old days, the Katakete voices, they sang this song, they sang this passage. And he said, Aki sori olori, kawo di ogbe teni o, koma ba se alaye to fun emi ati iwo, nje jade lo si igboro kan lo ra. I say igboro. They go on the streets, go and buy. They wept. The door was shut. Today the door is still open. Today there's still opportunity to get oil from the Lord. To get something that will change your life, that will lubricate your life, that will give you victory, that will keep you shining. It's available. You don't need to pay. Come and buy without money. The terrible thing was that when they knocked and nobody heard their voice, they must have returned to the streets. And the boys they left that time, they were saying, Debbie, was she Wambi? You mean you didn't go with him? But you were telling us that we are sinners. So you also couldn't make it. We already know we are not going anywhere before. We were getting ready for hellfire. So you will also join us here. Deborah. So why did you keep yourself if you knew you won't make it? The torments of those men was another trouble. On one side they were hearing the songs of saints, those that had entered, they were rejoicing, they were dancing, they were, it was wonderful. The more they heard those angelic songs, there was a pain in their heart. That's where I should have been. Then they are hearing the tormenting voices of this one that are mocking us there. So you didn't make it. Okay, come and give us your special number here. Now I conclude. And the master ended. Watch therefore. For you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. Watch therefore. What are you to watch? Watch your life. Watch your heart. Watch your standing. Watch your lamp. Is it still bright? Are you doing, you are appearing to be correct, but privately, you are defeated? What pain will it be that you have identified with everything and you are not in? I will be asking you to respond to the Lord tonight. I perceive that this meeting is one of those wake-up calls. I perceive that God is saying, don't wait to buy oil when the door will have been shut. Come to me. Even those that have nothing, buy of me without price. He spoke to that church. He said, you think that you are all right, not knowing that you are dry. Come, I will give you oil. I will give you oil. It's free for those who will come. Secret sin has brought dandruff to your life. Private omissions has dimmed the light of your life. The power of the light that was life shining that darkness cannot comprehend has finished with you. You are now yourself almost swallowed completely. I hear the Lord saying, yes, they slumbered, but it's not their slumbering that is the matter. I am waking them up to prepare. I don't think God is bothered that maybe you have slumbered or you have slept. I don't think that's the matter tonight. I think what the Lord is saying, that opportunity is here. Buy the lamp. Fill that lamp with oil. Bring your vessel. Let me fill it again. So that anytime he comes, you are ready to stand before him. My dear sister, you may have come with a good relationship with people, but you know now that your own light is not shining. I dare call you. And I was talking to you because several of you are students, and I perceive that the challenges that you are facing, the temptation that is troubling your life at this age, has become so complicated. You need extra oil to be able to stand through. I will be requesting that without any fanfare, without any coercion, you will let the Spirit of God speak to you tonight. If the bridegroom had not tarried, maybe some people would have crashed. But while the bridegroom tarried, the foolishness of the foolish became manifested. And the wisdom of the wise became manifested. I'm asking you, wherever you are standing or sitting, time is here to call on God. To say, Lord, don't allow me to miss out. Will I ask you to please stand? Stand up and we pray together. Stand up tonight as we pray together. You have been very, very patient for us to study. Now it is time to pray. Please lift up your voice with me. Lift up your voice. This is not what someone else said. This was what Jesus said. This is not what someone is trying to paint. This is Jesus speaking. Watch you therefore. For you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. The matter is not how to be watching the hour. It is to get the oil. The matter is to get what it will take for you to stand before the Son of Man. Brother, you know where you are coming from. You know, maybe when God first touched you, your zeal was much. But as I'm talking now, something else
has crept into your life.
You know where you are. You know your situation, my brother. And you know the matter that has been the challenge. Lift up that heart to God and say, Lord. 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 We're in the midst of a very hostile environment.